And welcome to another...
Welcome, everyone, to Rita Sins and Cast Ranger! All together now, everyone. Wow!
No, we're not
just,
doing that.
Just fucking cue the roll call.
We're live! Watching all the anime, Red Caster, Joe Raven,
Equipment Wielder, Blue Caster, Ichida Zazeel,
Loyal and Loud, Pink Caster, Lightren,
broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet,
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger,
on air,
Otsukare,
and welcome to a very special... By special, I mean news-filled episode of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger. We are on episode 59. We've been doing it that
long. You guys probably heard, I have my Ninja Star Burger now, and I'm extremely happy.
This is a really stupid burger.
Fuck you!
Oh, is that your problem? Not that it's a burger, but that it's a stupid burger.
It's a really poorly designed one. It's just, the toppings are on the wrong side of it. It's just...
Yeah, the lettuce and tomatoes are on the bottom. I don't know, some people do that.
I guess, but why?
Because why not?
I don't know, ask McDonald's.
Anyways, before we start, we just want to sincerely apologize for last week, because it's just this audio program is a big bag of dicks sometimes, and...
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, it refused to continue recording past 6.5 minutes.
We were recording a comedy bit in last week, which involved us leaving the room, and for some reason, the recording stopped while I was out of the room, and thus there's no way I pushed the space bar this time.
Which shows, Ichi, that this program will not run without you physically being here.
And now we have backup in place, so we're good even if it
sort
does fuck
kinda,
up.
Sort of, kind of. We'll see how that goes.
And also, there's just three of us.
Yeah. We were planning on having someone over Skype, but since that's in the process of being reworked as well, we're going to be holding off on Skype guests for the next couple weeks at least.
Yeah.
That should be rectified promptly.
Blackcaster should be back next week. Greencaster should also be back next week, so...
We're getting our own little mini saga right now.
Woo!
Yes, we're a Sentai team right
also
now.
Also Saga.
We're a Sentai team consisting of Red, Blue, and Pink.
Oh, also Cell.
Also Saga.
Cell's here.
Is he going to be next week?
Possibly.
Okay. He was mentioning, he was asking me about topics the other day. But yeah, we should also mention what next week's topic will be. As of this recording, the Full Throttle Movie Wars is now subbed, so we will be talking about that next week.
Woo!
In any case, it's now episode 59 of Cast Ranger, and we have a bunch of news stories to go
over. Oh my fucking god, do it.
Because we missed last week. So, let's jump right in.
Jeez,
I'm gonna hold my burger while we talk about
So, the first little bit is a bunch of stories about the Drive Summer movie, Surprise Future. Supposedly, the plot line is something along the lines of something hidden within the drive system is said to bring about global despair in the future. So, Shinosuke's son and or Kamen Rider Dark Drive arrives from the future.
Tomari Eiji.
We're not entirely sure if his son is Dark Drive or if he's being chased by Dark Drive. There's some conflicting stories. But apparently, one of the two characters, their mission is to prevent the drive system from bringing despair upon the future. And supposedly this does expand upon the TV series story, which means it is canon.
Good! No, you know what? I'm glad about that. Also, apparently, Krim gets revived and he's evil.
Yeah, that's one of the stories I had to mention. Supposedly, Krim Steinbelt comes back from the future alive in his human form.
I love the picture. Like, look for a second. He's wearing, like, the normal size Drive Driver, and then fucking Dark Drive has, like, the big suit version.
Wow, I didn't even notice. It looks like he's got a bigger driver than Krim does.
Yeah,
that's
right?
That's hilarious. But no, my first thought on this is, and we're going to talk about Type Trider on later, but my first thought was, him soloing as Type Trider on makes Drive one of my favorite riders, because Tomari himself has always been the one thing about Drive I didn't like. And
I like Shinosuke.
Nah, I don't. That's why in earlier episodes I was like, wouldn't it be great if he stayed dead?
He wasn't dead, Ichi. He was in life support.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, so that's apparently a thing.
I haven't gotten to that yet.
And which leads me to my next story, which is kind of our biggest feature. There was a reveal of Drive Super Dead Heat.
Oh yeah.
And apparently it is as I suspected, a mash of Drive and Machine Chaser, in that it's Type Speed's head with some slight modifications on a red version of Machine Chaser's body with the mock driver. And everyone's immediate reaction has been, holy shit, is this badass?
No. It is not badass. You're a fucking idiot. It is the ugliest fucking thing on this fucking planet. You're an idiot. Editor notes out.
My reaction was, oh my god, what have you done to my beautiful Type Speed?
They fixed it. No. Ironically, by breaking it.
No.
I like it. I think it would have been perfect.
Okay, my opinions on it is, it is cool from, like, a certain point of view. Yes, it's cool, but I still love Type Speed way more.
Here's the thing. My favorite feature of this form is the fact that the Machine Chaser tubes coming from the chest go over the belt. Mm. And here's my theory. So, you know how Krim comes back and presumably takes the Drive driver because Dark Drive already has the one from the future.
Yeah.
So he becomes Type Tridoron by himself and is evil for some reason, which probably means that Tamari will have to, or Shinosuke will have to take the mock driver, and seeing as Type Tridoron requires the use of all the shift cars, his only option will be to improvise. So he shoves the Tridoron key into it, apparently.
Hmm.
That's my theory on how that happens.
Okay.
Any thoughts on that?
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the key to the future.
Oh, he said it. But yeah, the one complaint I have about this form is the fact that, as it is with lots of my favorite forms, the blue belt really fucking clashes with the rest of the form.
Yeah.
Other than that, I like it. Okay. Moving along to other bits about the movie. We got the reveal of who Shinosuke's son is. His name is Eiji Tamari. We may have mentioned that before. Yep. We got the confirmation on the actor who plays him.
Oh, yeah. I found this out, too, actually. He's the son of... Okay, you've seen Kill Bill, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've also seen Kill Bill? That is the son of the guy who played Hattori Hanzo.
Sonny Chiba.
Yeah, that's Sonny Chiba's son. So I'm that's cool.
Apparently he kept this role a secret from his father, according to the article.
Wow.
That's weird.
Oh, now that I'm bringing up Dark Drive quickly, I've been looking at Dark Drive a lot more, and now I'm on, like, the bandwagon of, like, oh no, he looks fucking awesome.
Oh yeah. I hope,
I love that helmet.
I hope we get to see the flip side form from his vehicle, Type Special.
Yeah. Because
this is Type Next, I hope we get to see Type Special. So yeah, and apparently doing the theme song for Surprise Future is once again Mitsuru Matsuoka, Ernest Drive, the gentleman and his band who have done the Drive theme, so more eternal. Apparently the name of the theme song for the movie is Re-Ray, R-E-R-A-Y.
Okay.
Yeah. And apparently the film premieres on August 8th.
I hope we see ghost images soon. I really want to see what ghost looks like. Speaking, it's killing me.
Speaking of ghost, there were some more trademarks issued for more elements of the show. We got confirmation that there is something, or they confirmed the ghost driver for his belt, something called the ghost icon, and apparently his weapon is called the Gangan Saber.
Mm.
I'm afraid to find out what that is.
Yeah.
It's a Gangan.
Oh, that's his driver's going to be called the Ghost Driver.
Yeah.
Ghost Driver!
As if
that's a Ghost Rider reference if you're a 90s kid like me.
Yeah. So, moving on to a couple of stories about Type Tridoron, whose debut we'll be discussing in the episode in a bit. They confirmed all of the possible combinations of the shift cars for Type Tridoron.
Can I just say American Dream is my absolute favorite? If we do not see it in the fucking show or the movie, I am going to be extremely disappointed.
So apparently the name, like, you know how it's like Taya Kokan, Taya Fuere. Yep. When Tridoron does his mix-up, it's called Taya Kakimazeru, which translates to mix-up. So the listed combos for Tire Kakimazeru are as such. Attack 1, 2, 3 is comprised of the first three Chef cards, Max Flare, Funky Spike, and Midnight Shadow.
Looks ugly as fuck.
Yeah, there are better ones. Combining Justice Hunter, Mad Doctor, and Fire Braver brings forth People Saver.
American Dream consists of Dream Vegas, Dimension Cab, and Amazing Circus, which I think is amazing because...
Amazing!
No, because think about it. In Las Vegas, you can gamble. There's taxi cabs everywhere. And there's the circus. It truly is the American Dream.
That's racist? I don't know.
Moving on. American fans, let us know. Is it just what I just said?
Are you offended? Let us know in the comments.
Are you at all offended by what we've
Feed me comments. Said? I don't care how hateful they are. I will still eat them.
Anthony fed us some comments just before this filming. So, moving on. Rumble Dump, Spin Mixer, and Rolling Gravity make my favorite combo, the Worksite Team. Although I think the actual name is like what it translates to in Japanese. I haven't read it yet. Burning Solar, Road Winter, and Colorful Commercial bring us the weather report. And bringing up the spares, like we also got the Formula Pit Crew, which is called Grand Prix, because we all totally called that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And bringing up the rear, because they were no of other particular association, Massive Monster, Hooking Wrecker, and Deco Traveler, the combo is called Tough Guy.
Yeah.
I'm actually excited to see what that does.
Hmm.
Yeah, so that's Tire Kakimazeru.
Makes all sorts of sense that they'd be called Tough Guy.
And speaking of Type Tridoron, the episode debuted in the last week and someone has already cosplayed Type Tridoron.
Yep.
A Twitter user, Reputherian, has already done a Type Tridoron cosplay using just some cardboard and some genius.
Cosplays are amazing.
Yeah, and this was by a kid. That's the best part.
Hmm.
So yeah, that was great. Moving on, we got some information about the second round of Kamen Rider Gaim Gaiden movies, Duke and Knuckle. We got confirmation that apparently the limited version comes with supposedly a Kamen Rider Duke faceplate for the Sengoku driver and a lemon lockseed.
Which I think is fascinating because, of course... Ryoma Sengoku invented the Sengoku driver, so we're going to get to see Kamen Rider Duke as, like...
As an armored rider.
I'm so ready for this. No, me too, and I hope it looks fucking awesome.
I'm totally buying this.
Oh, yeah, me too. I don't care if it costs me another $100. I will get it.
Probably will.
Which means whatever new Lockseed Knuckle uses will be a separate purchase.
I'm going to say Kurumi Energy. Just saying it right now.
Walnut... You know, I was going to say Walnut Energy question mark, but we have fucking Pinecone Energy, so who the fuck knows anymore?
Exactly.
I kind of hope it isn't, though.
You know what? I have a feeling that we're going to get a Bravo Gridon movie, because it's just going to be them.
That would be amazing!
No, because it's just going to be the adventures of them together doing shit.
The whole movie, like, just those two.
Exactly! It would be perfect. That's what people want. They want a Bravo Gridon movie. It makes sense.
That would be cool.
It'll be hilarious. I think it'll be the funniest Kamen Rider movie we'll have seen in a while.
Oh, yeah. Moving on, speaking of other movie-related information, we got confirmation that the Kamen Rider Yongo miniseries is coming to Blu-ray and DVD in September, which means it should be subbed sometime after that.
Yay.
Looking forward to that.
Yep.
And moving on to game-related news, the first in a long time, we have the announcement video for an iOS Android game called Kamen Rider Storm Heroes, which apparently plays something like Battleheart to anyone who knows what those kind of games play like.
Huh.
And there's a link that you can pre-register to the game, and which will give you Kamen Rider Mach when the game is released. Cool. Kevin and I have already pre-registered.
Nice.
So that'll be really awesome when it comes out.
Woo.
Moving along. On to Power Rangers related information. I thought it was worth mentioning. We got confirmation that the Power Rangers Super Mega Force Legendary Battle DVD set is going to be coming out on August 11th, and we got a shot of the box art, which is actually pretty cool. It's like the sea of Rangers in the rainstorm, and fucking Akdos Gil's face in the background in the sea of ships coming. I thought that's a pretty cool shot.
Yeah, well, a DVD cover does not fucking save this.
Oh, I know. We already watched it. I know.
It was a steaming pile of crap.
And now you can own that steaming pile of crap. Well, in August, you can own it. Moving on to more recent Power Rangers series, we got confirmation that the next arc of Power Rangers Dino Charge is going to be called Power Rangers Dino Supercharge. Because you gotta really play on the battery motif.
I like these suits, just saying.
Speaking of battery motif, we got confirmation for the new Battleizer / Zord mode form type deals.
And apparently in that photo they don't have their leg armor on for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know. But apparently their new forms involve putting giant protruding batteries on their chests.
I like it.
I'm just glad someone besides Red gets a super form.
Oh no, he's still... Well, no, that's kind of like their Megazord form.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. Note the fact that in this shot we're looking at, it's Plezuo's icon in the background.
Yeah, so people are interested to see what the name of this Megazord's going to be, because in Courageur, it's Bakuretsu Kyoryugen, so...
Yeah. Yeah, like we'll explosion. See. Alright, and we got a bit of updated profile information on the Gold and Gray Rangers.
Graphite Ranger.
I'm sorry,
Ranger.
The Graphite Ranger.
That's a cool name!
No!
Yes,
no,
it is!
Not.
Yes, it is! It makes them sound awesome.
Alright, so, information on Ivan the Gold Ranger. 900 years ago, Ivan was a valiant young knight who dared to challenge Fury for the Gold Energem. Having finally escaped his imprisonment years later, Ivan joins the Power Rangers as the Gold Ranger, blah, 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 we know the rest. And here's the weird one. Apparently, the Gray Ranger is no longer the Green Ranger's brother. Apparently, he's a character named Prince Philip, who admires the Power Rangers and aspires to be like them so much that he embarks on a quest to find his own Energem.
So, it's not Riley's brother.
No, it is not.
Alright.
I'm kind of pissed.
That's fine. They never gave any establishment at all in the beginning that he was going
to
be a Ranger anyway.
We made specific comments that he was given enough screen time that it hinted that he would be of some significance later.
Save it for silver medal.
Yeah.
Wait. So you said that he's a guy who loves the Power Rangers.
Yeah.
So they're pretty much taking Guy's story from Gokaiger and applying it to the next series.
Damn it, they recycled Gokai Silver!
Wow. Well done,
Saban. Fuck.
Well done. Clap, clap, clap. Clappity clap.
Moving from clever adaptations to not so clever ones, apparently Tokuger is getting dubbed in Korea as Power Rangers Train Force.
Oh, well, at least this Korea beat
well,
them to it.
Well, yeah. What else are you going to call that?
We all called that like it wasn't hard.
Which means what else are you going to call that?
Apparently, it's not like a Power Rangers thing. They're literally just taking the source material and dubbing it in Korean.
It's Power Rangers. I like trains.
Yeah. I hope they keep the Bonero episode.
Oh, God.
It's episode 3 for the curious. All right. Speaking of other Power Rangers adaptations, we got a bit of information on the upcoming Power Rangers Lionsgate film. According to sources, the director is Dean Israelite, who directed Project Almanac, and there were some interviews recently that confirmed that apparently the film's tone will be quote-unquote grounded and mature, but also completely playful. Isn't that the most schizophrenic description of all time?
So Marvel movies.
Pretty much.
Huh.
And here's where things got interesting. There were a couple of character profiles revealed. First one is Rita Repulsa. This one isn't so amazing, but I'll read it anyways, just for the curious. A huntress, a striking yet subtly alien-looking woman. She carries a metallic staff topped with a distinctive crescent shape. Advances with a soldier's confidence, guided by some sort of compass. Her staff is actually a device of immense power. Say it isn't so. She points it at the ground. Heads emerge, built layer upon layer, like 3D printing made from the earth itself. The staff's technology grants her the ability to create humanoid figures, soulless and robotic. So they're reclassing Rita's powers from magic to technology.
Yeah.
And here's my Sorry, did you want to say something?
No. I understand why they're doing all this, because they're remaking MMPR in a way for how we see everything today. So, like, it's all about technology. Nobody cares about magic and shit anymore. Everyone's all about technology. and, like, shit. That's why we see, like, fucking Star Ninja taking selfies and stuff, because selfies is the norm. They're doing everything right for this generation. Not ours, the newest one. I understand. So that's why I'm not mad at this.
Fair enough. Here's where the movie really takes a turn. Zordon the Red Ranger.
I don't believe that.
Though alien, he looks like a man in his 50s, sinewy and strong, as if carved from some root that refused to die. A being of integrity and iron will. So apparently in the age of the dinosaurs, Zordon was the fucking Red Ranger in this movie.
Yep.
That woke you up.
That did. I was literally getting tired and about to fall asleep, and I heard the word Zordon the Red Ranger, and just, wait, what?
Well, okay, first
I'm awake now.
Are these confirmed, or is this a rumor?
This is confirmed.
Oh, dear.
And the movie has been dated. The release of the Power Rangers movie is January 13, 2017.
Alright, so let me get this straight. So
they torrented Zordon.
So, if Zordon is the Red Ranger, does that make Largo the Blue Ranger? what's her face? Diva Tox's sister, one of the girl Rangers.
Demetria?
Yeah, is Demetria one of the Rangers?
Yes.
Like,
sure.
Are all the mentors that have ever fucking been. Is Alpha one of the fucking Rangers?
I would love to see that.
Imagine Largo as a Power Ranger.
He's like the techie of the group, kind of.
It's muffin time. I don't know. I can't do his voice.
What the fuck was that?
That was my worst Largo impression I've ever done.
You never said it's muffin time.
No, I was trying to make him say it's morphin time.
Oh,
I was saying, imagine Largo saying that.
Okay, sure.
I'm sorry to everyone.
So we got confirmation that they are releasing Kuemon's Yokai Gavel along with the Goten Yoshuriken.
Oh my god, take my money now! Why the fuck do I care? Do you know what you use it for? You know what it does? Shh. You shake it. You just,
Yojutsu. You learn the Hanzo Yojutsu.
No, I have no interest in this whatsoever. This is stupid.
But if you get the, if they ever release the Gansha Dokoro Shuriken, you can use it to summon a giant Gansha Dokoro. Maybe with two eyebrows.
No.
That's an episode joke.
I wonder if they'll release a DXN Shuriken.
Oh, I bet you they will.
I want to destroy the world.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens.
Ooh, yes, this.
They are doing SH Figure Arts Kamen Rider Yongo.
It looks fucking
cool. I don't know if we mentioned it, but they're also doing Sango, obviously.
Yeah, they both look pretty.
There's no details about release date or price for Yongo, or if it's regular or web exclusive, but it's going to exist.
Yep.
And I'm sure you'll like this the most, Lane. We got confirmation that the rest of the first 10 Heisei riders are getting Shinkocho Seiho SH Figure Arts releases.
Oh, I'm well aware. And you know what? I'm happy that they are making a renewal Deno figure because it's going to be fucking awesome. Because Decade already looks fucking beautiful.
The best part of this whole news story is the fact that Kiva Regular Form is finally getting a figure release.
And it's going to be fantastic.
You hear me, fans? You hear me, cast? We're getting a Kiva normal form figure!
Dude, we're getting a renewal of Fize! Yeah. How happy does that make you?
See, the thing is, I wanted to get the Fize and Transforming Autovagin set, but that's fucking expensive.
You know what you do? You just get Autovagin by itself, and then you get the renewal of Fize, and it'll look so cool.
I don't think you can. I think they come as a set.
No, Autovagin you can get separately. That was like an exclusive thing. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'll
look,
that
I'll look
that
into
up.
It for you.
Yeah, I looked up that. Anyways, yeah, we're getting more revival
figures. So far they've already released Kabuto, Kuga, Hibiki, and then they're releasing Agito, and then in September, somewhere around that Decade, which I'm buying hands down, because Decade is beautiful. Just best form.
Speaking of more SH figure arts, we got confirmation that they're doing Drive-type Formula and Dead Heat Mach, which was fairly obvious.
I gotta say, the Formula figure art, I like.
It's alright.
I'm not gonna buy it, but
yeah,
I like.
For whoever's interested, that's coming out in November for Formula.
And also,
and Dead Eat Mach is not dated yet.
And they're also releasing Technic and Wild, but who gives a fuck about them?
I give a fuck. Fuck you, anyway. And finally, we got info about the Tire Kokon figure for Type Trideron.
Which is amazing.
And the best part is that you can flip it between the eyes.
And if the figure art of Type Trideron has a separate head for Crim Eyes, That's all I'm putting it on. And I'm buying
supposedly
it.
Supposedly the Tire Kokon figure comes with the Type Triteron tire and the People Saver tire.
That's so weird. I hope they release a pack of tires that come with the other ones.
Apparently the way you switch the eyes on the helmet is the wheel on the side of the helmet.
That's genius.
That's awesome.
No. Okay. I know we're probably, like, but this is out of order, but, like, honestly, like, Krim as Triteron is just amazing.
I know, right? That's why when we were talking about earlier about the movie, I'm like, I'm so on board.
Just so you know, like, I was complaining about the silver circles or whatever near, like, his home, top of his helmet, but honestly, it doesn't bother me anymore. Like, I understand it. Yeah, well, now I am too, and no, Type Triteron is in my top three favorite super forms, along with Infinity and Kiwami.
For those who didn't notice, I took a shot of Type Triteron from the episode, shooped it blue, and made it my Twitter header image. And I flipped it horizontal to make it different, and then I realized it said on the tire, Type Norodirt, so I made that the label.
Good job.
And that's about it for news.
Ugh.
Sorry that took so long. Moving on to the Drive episode discussion. Go!
First of two. All we need is Drive! Is there making up for last week?
Yes, double episode special.
Yeah, so we're just going to combine the two episodes because, like, whatever. So, Tamari, and Tamari died.
Well, that's the end of the episode.
Okay, well, we're just going to talk about it, so...
We talk about... Oh, no, the best part of this episode was Honganji was wearing Belt-san while he was talking to him.
Yes!
And he pretended to Henshin, which totally explains that shot that I found and made the last episode's thumbnail.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn it, I used that too early!
You didn't do the one I suggested.
What?
I was suggesting you do the one where you show Chase's eyes or whatever like that, and you put her logo on the
screen. I did both.
Oh, you did do that, cool.
And I did that, and then I put the shot of him in the projection also.
Oh, okay. Didn't see that, cool.
We confirmed details about Freeze's powers. Apparently the way it works is he erases memories associated to keywords.
Sound like you said Freeze's powers, and I'm just like...
I did.
I heard you say Frieza.
Oh, no, Freeze's.
No, I know.
Yeah. Mr. Freeze's powers. Fuck it.
Yes.
But apparently he erases memories associated to keywords, which makes him the anti-Philip.
Yep. Also, fucking Nira... like, redeems himself, and it's amazing.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does. He's not a complete asshat anymore.
But that's only because Mikage dropped him.
Yeah, no, he's still an asshole. He's still the same asshole.
He plays for the winning team.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a point of, oh no, the guy I've been supporting this entire time has been using me this whole time? Well, fuck him.
I'm gonna go join the good guys.
I'm gonna go join the other guys, because then maybe they'll win, and I won't die.
I like when the captain's, like, trying to fucking, like, send them out or whatever. Like, Nira Nira pushes them out of the way, and he is like,
Shutsudo! And then he does this dumb little dance, and then Honganji does this even dumber dance while expressing his distaste.
He's like, ah! That was great.
There was one thing I noticed. They established well... like, at least a couple episodes ago, at most, that Gen had been affected by 001, which is why, apparently, the reason that he could never say the word Roidmude is because 001 had frozen his memory of the word Roidmude.
Yeah.
But it makes so much sense!
Absolutely, but here's the thing. No one ever checked him for the mark.
That's fair.
You know what, because they just thought Gen was stupid.
Well, he is, but that's beside the point.
I love Gen, though.
So they apparently develop an anti-freeze spray, and they test it on Gen, and he actually manages to say the word Roidmute, so applause for that.
Yeah, good job, Gen.
Your story arc is complete, my friend.
Yep.
That, and now you will die next episode.
Wouldn't that just suck? I actually like him now.
Welcome to Death Flag.
Gen's amazing!
Yeah. He's the ultimate evolution, which is one of the Roidmute's two main goals... is apparently when they Golden Armor Digivolve.
No, Choshinka.
Yes, that's correct. Because
they're even fucking gold!
It's the same term, too. Choshinka.
Yeah!
They call it Choshinkatai.
I'm sorry. I sat there the first time he did it, and I'm just like, he's even gold.
Ichi and Raven are the very hardcore Digimon fans.
Yeah. So apparently the way this works is, because they're androids, they have to experience emotions, and once they find an emotion, They have to experience shit tons of it. So apparently Freeze's was humiliation.
Oh, God. Have you noticed, Hart says joy? He hasn't been very joyful.
That's the idea.
He's been very pissed lately.
Exactly.
That's interesting.
But here's the thing. We'll talk about that in the next episode about Hart. But there was this one funny scene in the episode where Drive has, deployed to go fight Makage, and Belt-san's being all haughty and hoity-toity and stays in the Drive fit. And Chase walks up to him, and he's like, you know Tamari's already gone out to fight. And he's like, Chase, aren't you afraid? I do not understand that emotion.
Well, yeah, that's not yours, yeah.
which made me thought that Chase kind of doesn't have one of those.
Yet.
Maybe his emotion will be justice!
Also, we find...
Desire to protect.
Sure. I'd like to see Golden Prototype.
Yeah.
Also, those people that have been, missing that were in that medical report? No! Apparently, freaking Freeze has been holding them in cryogenic...
For 12 years!
Yeah, in cryogenic stasis, trying to figure out why Tamari,
why does Tamari have that thing?
Yeah, except for that one guy's father who's only been gone for a week or two.
Well, he was just the most recent victim.
Yeah.
He's been doing it over the course of the 12 years. So... He's been capturing people with similar physiologies to find out why the Tamari line is immune to his memory-altering powers.
Yup. Indeed.
So, blah, 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 blah. I just like how when he's, as they're explaining the plan, and everyone's like, oh no, there's this one shot of just Chase just standing there with his arms outstretched slightly, like a robot. I thought that was funny.
Also, Mach and Chase did another, simultaneous fighting, and I still love it.
Yeah.
So much.
Oh, and Go does something badass this episode. When he goes to fight Chase, he holds up Dead Heat and just, in one motion, flicks it in.
Yeah, now I want to learn how to master that.
Yeah.
That was badass.
Go is great.
Yeah. So, Drive fights Freeze, and like a smart person, uses Max Flare to battle Ice Monster.
And then goes forward, really uses Bonton, which is fucking awesome.
And he does a fucking beam punch. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, hey, remember that thing where we said Freeze's thing, that he has to experience a lot of his humiliation? Oh boy, did Drive humiliate the fuck out of him during that fight.
Which ends up triggering his Choshinka.
Oh yeah.
And then he immediately OHKOs Tamari and actually kills him. Stop playing with the burger!
All right, just let me do one thing.
Oh, you put the elemental one.
Yeah, Earth Burger?
I was like, what?
I want an Earth Burger. I want to see what it does.
It's the same thing that would happen if you put it in any other thing and spun it.
I'm going to put the burger down in the corner so I'm not having it in my hands. Okay.
Yeah. And here's...
Tamari's dead! Woo!
And then the really interesting part is the eye catch for the next episode. They actually, took off the music and made it all sad. It was next time I'm coming right to Drive. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, no, they really stepped it up. I love it.
Hey. At least it still fits with the emotion at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
It's a lot better than some things I've seen.
I know, I was gonna say, I'm pretty sure that's the only time they've done that. Every other time someone dies in Toku. No, still high energy ending cutscene.
No, still, I'm sorry. The record for that is fucking Clannad.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, dear. All the crap going on in that show. Cut to happy, upbeat ending theme. My wife is dead! Happy ending theme.
Okay. So, yeah, that's episode 32. Picking up on 33, which starts with a news report about his death, and these asshole newspapers guys just passing out extra, extra,
extra, extra.
Fuck!
Kamen Rider's dead!
Yay!
Extra, extra, we're all screwed!
That'll sell papers!
I guess they haven't seen Chase, really.
Yeah, I don't know, no one cares.
He's like, extra, extra, the only guy protecting us is dead, now we're fucked!
They show him in, when they were showing, him in the morgue or whatever like that, the guy's, removing the sheet, and I'm like, whoa, and it's, showing his belt, and I'm like, whoa!
Captain Honganji, there's something I want you to see. His dick hasn't gotten less hard since you brought him in.
Damn it.
But no, apparently they can't remove the belt from him, which makes everyone believe
but
that
I'm gonna say now,
is keeping him alive.
This Drive episode 33 is right now and the best episode.
Oh,
like,
yeah, it's well up there.
Feels! Yeah. So many feels!
Right from the get-go of this episode. First thing, freaking Chase goes after Go. Yeah. Like, in the Roid Mude's hideout, which tells me one thing. They haven't moved.
Yeah. Which is weird.
No.
Or maybe
you know why? And I noticed this, like, the episode previous.
Oh, with the simulation thing?
When Chase went to attack Hart and there were, like, cherry blossoms everywhere. And then when the fight ended, there was, like, that freaking holographic
simulation. Yeah, right? I knew it. I was like,
and then I sit there. It's like, you're really brave to come back here after all this time, Chase. They haven't moved. Every time we've seen them in a different location,
it's a different simulation.
Whatever the fuck they were doing to change the background, they've been changing the look of the building they're
in. While off
camera. Repeatedly.
Oh my god, where the fuck are they?
They're robots, of course they can do shit like that.
It's like, I noticed it and I was like, wait, no, that thing. That thing from last episode where suddenly, hey, you remember the scenery we were fighting in?
Nope. You know what I bet it is? You remember that computer console from episode 0 where they were planning their global freeze?
Yeah.
I bet you that's where that is.
Probably.
Wow.
Also, Chase has known where their hideout is this entire time, and once again, hasn't told anybody.
Why haven't you told us?
Nobody asked!
Nobody asked. That's what I keep saying! This is a perfect resource of information!
And no one's asking him questions!
But no, instead, Go's gotta go on some half-assed scheme
Chase,
to obtain the tablet.
Hey, Chase, can you tell us everything you know about the bad guy's powers? Okay.
Here's a PDF.
Here's this thing. Yeah, no, fuck. I'll tell you everything you want to know.
You know everything? Nobody asked.
There's this really great scene where the captain's packing up his office and Neera comes in and he's like, where is everybody? Well, Rena and Q were never really on the force. So what? Were you paying them? Were they just around?
No, they've said before, Q is just a volunteer.
Okay.
He likes doing this shit.
No, that's fair.
He came in to help, just to lend a hand, because apparently he was fine for money on his own.
Okay, sure. But, so the captain's packing up his desk, and Nira's like, no, no, you have to find a replacement for the Kamen Rider. This is not a joke. And the captain totally goes into complete badass moment and yells his face off, telling him that Tamari is irreplaceable. And I was like, well done.
No, I know. No, the captain's fucking amazing.
Two episodes in a row of awesome captains.
But,
Also, that thing where frigging, now it's all the Roid Mutes versus Chase. It's all their leaders in one place attacking him. Chase, this is not very well thought out.
Use a damn shift car!
Something like that. Oh, by the way, Go's not mind controlled.
Yeah.
That was amazing!
It's just that moment out of nowhere where it's just like, alright, Chase, alright, go attack him. Alright, I'll do that. Oh, by the way.
No, gun to brain's head. It played out like this. So Chaser fights all of them, but as Freeze is fighting him, Chase is like, I'm a Roid Mute, your powers don't work on me. So they're like, okay, fuck it. They throw Mach at him, and then Brain comes up, and he's like, maybe we should rewrite your code again. And he, like, rubs his tablet while holding it out. And out of nowhere, Go just flips around, steals the tablet, holds Brain hostage, and points the Zenran shooter at his face.
And then Brain...
It's like, remember that whole reason you wanted Tamari, the fact that he couldn't be affected by your powers? Yeah, apparently I have that!
Yeah.
Yeah, and apparently that tablet is Professor Bonno.
Or, no, here's my theory. You know how Krim backed his own data up inside the belt? Bonno did the same with the tablet.
Mm. Yeah. And he's voiced by Ichigo Kurosaki or Barnaby Brooks Jr.
Which, though, makes me just wonder one thing. Brain stole that tablet from some random jackass in a coffee shop.
No, he had it. Oh.
Way at the beginning of the show. He stole that fucking tablet from some jackass in a coffee
Maybe
shop.
Maybe he put it in there afterwards?
I like to think
Or Bono had just been hiding out somewhere and brain tracked him.
Wouldn't that be amazing if there was this huge plot point that was completely glossed over on purpose?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so you just walk into a coffee shop. Oh, there's the tablet of Ultimate Roid Mute Data. Yoink.
Yeah.
That's...
That
would be amazing.
The show's getting better and better. Guys,
just hey, that thing where that's not something he had originally, and some jackass in a coffee shop was holding on to it.
Now,
yet suddenly it has Professor Bono's mind in it.
One of my favorite moments in this entire episode, though, was just like Kiriko's obviously not showing up and like being around while like Shinosuke's being like examined and stuff because she's like emotionally destroyed by this.
Yeah,
because like you know, if we didn't know that she loved him before. We know now.
I like how she refers to him as her buddy. That just gave me Go Busters flashbacks.
But anyways, so goes to Kiriko's apartment. Literally, it's just like, oh yeah, I wasn't under mind control or anything. I was undercover the entire time.
Which I thought was hilarious because it means that Chase got away with his lie.
Yeah, because apparently he was right.
That's what I said. Yeah, I was like, wow.
I lied.
I didn't know
I was telling the truth.
I was hoping that Kiriko would be like, I know. And he'd be like, how did you know? Chase told me. How did Chase know?
No,
He seemed pretty fucking surprised to me.
But I loved it though, because like goes like really ashamed. He's like, Tamari died because of me. Like this is all my fault. I could have done something, but I didn't because I still had to go
so
with my plan.
Fast.
No, and he like yeah, it happened so fast.
I couldn't react. Which is fair.
Yeah.
Fair. It was one shot.
Yeah, but he's like on the ground. And he's just like, I understand if you don't trust me or forgive me. And Kiriko just turns over, just hands on his shoulders.
Forgives
I will always trust you, no matter what. And I'm just like. Oh!
And there was this great scene beforehand where Go was about to throw the tablet because he thought it wasn't worth it.
And Chase
it
is like,
Chase wrestles him to the ground and he's like, you're a real Kamen Rider protecting humanity at great cost. And I'm like, fuck yeah, senpai.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was great.
No, which so, means, no. Yeah. And also kind of like Chase and Go have kind of like a... Go's just like, wow, like, you really aren't a piece of shit. So now I'm like, yay, Chaser Mock team up from now on for rest of show, and it's gonna be great.
So apparently, at that point, through a combination of the formulas retrieved from the tablet and the genius mind of Honganji and Rina and whoever else,
Q,
they all come up with a plan to revive Shinosuke because he's not actually dead. Krim is keeping him alive.
Yeah, because he kind of, you know, transferred his mind and shit into Tamari's body.
The writer of Double, ladies and gentlemen.
Whatever. We're not doing this episode.
I know.
Thing my thing. We're just
talking
about
it. The funny thing is, we come, like, you see Q and Gen just going into the dry pit. Oh, I wonder if anyone's here. Probably not. Everyone's here! What's going on? Holy shit! Is that Tamari's body in the Triron? That's super fucking disrespectful!
Yeah.
There is a corpse in this car!
He's not dead. He's in stasis. We just need someone to drive the damn car.
200 kilometers an hour.
I'm surprised they didn't just say 88 and just fucking go with it.
No! The scene where they're showing it, like, hitting 200 miles an
hour? No, they're saving that for the time travel movie.
I'd be more pissed if I didn't think you were right.
Yeah, if the next Trideron does not, like, come out through a portal and have a trail of flames behind it, they missed a great opportunity.
Yeah.
But anyways, Type Trideron, amazing.
Well, we should comment on the whole driving scene first.
They have this whole driving scene where
Freeze just comes in.
Kiriko's driving the Trideron. They have to go hit 200.
The plan is to hit 200 kilometers an hour. Then activate the belt to jumpstart it.
Yep.
So, while they're doing that, Freeze comes out of nowhere, somehow having learned about their plan, because
literally pulls a star off, just can't let you do that, pit crew.
And fucking explodes the Trideron.
I love Chase just, Kiriko!
Yep.
Just a literal, like,
I'm not so worried about Tamari, but Kiriko! Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Then we see explosion, and literally just, like, Tamari comes out of the car like a badass, and he's just like, oh, by the way, I transformed while and absorbed the explosion. I'm like,
let me show you what it looks like.
Yeah, it's like, you did what now? How did you, when did you learn
the
that?
The henshin sequence.
And then he turned, like, Tamari's like, I'm still alive, Kiriko. Yeah, no, I'm good. And then suddenly Krim's voice comes out of his mouth.
Like, his eyes glow and you hear the beep, 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 and then he talks out of Tamari's mouth, and I'm like, ah! And,
like, I was just sitting there like, oh, the fuck just happened here?
They just pulled the Cyclone Joker Extreme.
I love Trideron's henshin sequence, because it just literally, Trideron just... dematerializes and forms onto Drive.
Trideron just kind of poofs and then kerchucks onto Drive.
I'm just like,
it's so cool.
And it's like, oh, okay.
And then while he's fighting, he makes this awesome comment like, Mr. Belt and I are of one mind now, and my body is the Trideron.
I can't lose.
And I'm just like,
yes, sir.
Writer Double writes the show.
Yeah.
Makes total sense.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, after Kiwami, this is an amazing final form for me.
Yeah. No, this is pretty... Type Trideron's pretty neat, yeah.
Like,
I love it.
Far and away, I hate
Can
to
I
say
just,
it.
If my current rider figure collection is anything to go by, Super Dead Heat and fucking Type Trideron are going to be in that case at some point.
As much as I hate to say it, I think Type Trideron's beating Technic for my favorite drive form.
Well, yeah. Hey, remember that thing where I said, I guess I probably have to go type speed?
Not anymore.
Better. We have better. Much better.
Let's all get on board the Trideron for type Trideron.
I know, right?
So, I'll get Dave to order 3.
And then, as he's fighting, he does my favorite thing ever. Freeze starts up his super OHKO attack, and Tamari's like, I kind of don't want to get hit by that. And Krim is like, okay. His eyes go dim and come back up as the red ringed display from the belt.
It's amazing.
Krim has taken over control.
Which means this is the first Kamen Rider belt to ever be a Kamen Rider.
I was thinking it more along the lines of the first Kamen Rider to wear a belt with their own voice.
Fair.
Which I meant to mention when we were talking about Evil
Krim. We had that conversation earlier. That whole thing, the idea of, you know what, if Krim's actually going to use the belt to transform himself, instead of the belt having anything, just have him saying freaking sound effects.
Yeah, just as he's transforming, drive!
Start engine!
No,
please do that movie, please!
No, I was saying that we need to have an episode now where just Krim decides, hey, I'm just going to steal Shinosuke's body for the day. And
pull
just
a Deno?
Yeah, and just go around and do shit. Like,
I'm a human again!
I haven't eaten something in fucking 15 years. I haven't slept with a woman in 15 years.
So, screw some prostitutes.
So, pull a Deno.
Yeah.
No, it just goes over to the Kiriko, just like, start your engine.
Let's not.
Can we just call that the name of this episode?
Sure. I'll start your engine.
I'll start your engine. Like, parentheses on the yore.
So
she'd put him in a fucking headlock and just be like, give him back. give him control back.
What I really liked also was, like, I know we're going to bed, but, like, I liked at the end where now just, like, Kiriko is just so happy to see Shinosuke that she's just, like, brightly smiling, and Shinosuke is just like,
that's a
smile, and she doesn't even deny it or anything.
No.
And I'm like, yay!
Conclusion of that plot arc.
Yeah.
Yes, thank God.
Hey, look, you're smiling. Like that.
Ship Tamari and Kiriko forever.
I know. Yeah.
From the start.
Yeah.
Fuck no. No, there are people who are like chasing Kiriko. I'm like, no! He's a robot!
I still ship Chase and Kiriko.
No.
Anyways, one of my favorite things about Type Trideron is the fact that he's got wheel feet, or like wheel heels, and he uses them.
Well, it's great.
Like, they spin as he kicks, and he's got, oh, it's so
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, I love how Krim just absorbed, like, fucking blocked that
Dragon Ball Z,
that fucking blast!
I'm trying to think now, what was that show where they had wheels on the feet and they kicked and the wheel just kind of
spun?
Under. Right, okay.
/RPM.
Right.
Although that was like around the leg.
I seem to recall someone planting a foot in someone's face and just letting the wheel run.
That might have been something else.
Yeah, I can't remember for the life of me what it is. Anybody out there who knows, please
comment. No, you know what it was? Funky Spike.
No, I don't think it was that. I just remember somebody's on in some show. It might have just been an anime, not a Toku thing, where they had a wheel on their heel for whatever reason, kicked the guy in the face, and just let the wheel run and leave a skid mark.
I know you're right, but I also can't remember.
Yeah, I can't for the life of me. Anybody who knows, comment.
Yeah, send us comment. So we get to see what the first of the Taikaki Mazerus this week. We got to see Attack 1-2-3, which makes him split into four clones, shoot a bunch of spikes, which then explode into flames.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Also that thing. Hey, so the thing is, yeah, three tires on the Triton.
Yeah. Although the fourth tire is, like, the big one, so, you know.
I guess, but at the same time, it's just like, yeah, no, okay, so we have three
tires. No, I know, we were
going to We made this comment last week when we were talking about rumors about Tech Triton. Now we can say it about the actual thing. It's a car with three wheels.
What about that picture you showed me?
Oh, yeah, someone put up, I don't know who or when, but someone put up a terrible, terrible shop of their approximation of Type Triton.
No, I liked it.
No, it's ugly.
If that was what Type Triton looked like too, like for any reason, I would have been okay with that too.
No, it doesn't have the side blades. Those are awesome.
No, I liked it. I thought it was cool.
I don't know.
Like real, fake or not, I it's badass, I think.
So anyways, after that, he pulls out the formula cannon and does full speed big cannon.
Because that was the point of the frigging shift car for Type Triton in the first place.
Apparently.
The entire idea of it was, initially, because Type Triton was not something they planned for or designed.
Right.
The entire point was that it could load every shift car in so you could use all of them in the frigging formula cannon.
Right.
Yeah. All of them at once instead of just
That's three. Why when you click it, it says fire all engines.
Yeah.
Oh, that explains that. I didn't think about that.
Rena said that in the episode. It's like, that makes all sorts of sense.
Yeah.
Since there seems to be, like, a max storage space of three in there for the formula cannon.
Actually, no, the max storage space was two.
Right. I seem to remember.
The Triton shift car is, right. like, the size of one and a half.
Oh, fair. So, here's the thing. Yeah, no, we took this big one here, and now we load everything into it so we can fire all at once.
Although I was kind of disappointed because I was expecting it to be the size that when you put it in the formula cannon, the display of all the shift cars would fill the whole display, mm-hmm. and then it would switch to full, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Although it apparently is smaller than that, so either way, he fires the cannon. Apparently 001 actually gets destroyed, so we have...
His core blew up. That's done.
We now have a case of the big baddie of the series dying in episode 33.
Is he?
His core exploded.
No, he didn't.
So...
No, I mean, is he the big baddie?
Oh, yeah.
No, that's what I was going to mention next. He was like, yay, I finally avenged my father. And as the core dies, he's like, ha 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 ha. I hope you choke on the truth.
When you learn it. Oh,
apparently next week.
Which means I was right when I mentioned that he never admitted to being the killer.
Because he wanted to keep him alive.
Yeah.
They established that a couple episodes ago.
No, but my point was, every time they accuse him of being the killer, he never outright agrees or admits to it.
And apparently next week we find out who it is.
Professor
Although
Bono.
Lots of episode previews of thought have said that at us, so who
Professor
the fuck
Professor Bono.
Totally, it's gotta be.
You know what was
Just
really
like weird? Go taps the talent, did you kill Ace Tamari? Totally!
No, I know, that was weird seeing, like, Go tap on the tablet, and he just, like, Bono shows up, and he's just like, what are your requests? I'm like...
With a fucking Moai face
I'm
for some reason.
I'm like, this is his father, you guys.
Like I said, it's just like how Krim downloaded his data into the belt. It's a data backup of his brain.
No, but it's weird, because fucking Go's father is a tablet!
I like how he just says Professor Bono instead of Otosan.
Well, I don't. After all the shit he's done, I would, you know, denounce him as my father too.
He's disowned his father.
Yeah, he's disowned his father. Thank you. That was the word I was looking for.
That.
So yeah, that's Drive. Shit's getting real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, next week we find out who his dad's real killer is.
Supposedly, like I said, we've been throwing that teaser a long time.
Anyways, now on to the ninja.
So, Ninja is...
Episode 14 starts with them eating snacks.
Yeah, so we had some very interesting episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Snacks assassinate!
That was the caption I wrote for that, yeah.
I know, yeah.
They're eating snacks and...
And suddenly, they open a tin of crackers and start in your face.
Yeah! Oh, what the fuck was that?
I've come for your life! Bah!
I love how that's just like...
I was like, how did you get in there?
Shuriken Ninpo, hide inside a tiny tin jutsu.
I fucking know! This happened in next week's episode, the next episode too. They're just making up bullshit fucking jitsus, and it's pissing me off.
You want to repeat that, Raven?
Just because Lane didn't hear it, Attack on Titan.
Titan.
Meh. Sorry, not... Why did I say jitsu? Jutsu.
Yeah,
they're making up fucking stupid random jutsus, and it's pissing me off.
But the thing is, half of them are actually things they do, and the other half are just jokes they're making.
Kazumi especially.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking...
So...
Kazumi is true leader of fucking the ninja.
So fucking Star Ninja comes out of the tiny candy tin and starts chasing half of them around while...
Just Takaharu.
While Yakumo and Kazumi are just sitting there chilling like nothing's happening, and Fuka's screaming and trying to clean up the mess they're making. It's amazing.
Yeah, just that thing where, I repeat, Star Ninja's just going after Takaharu.
Yeah.
It's just... We pretty much established his main target is the strongest of them, because I'm sure in his case it's... He wouldn't feel like he's giving them a sporting chance without going after the strongest.
All right, yeah. No, this episode was great because, like, Fuka and Kenji are my two favorite characters in Ninja, and they teamed up this episode, and I'm like, yeah!
I like how Takaharu poked Kenji in the ass. And then goes, neen, neen, and runs away. So... as the opening plays, we see that Sugimori has actually now been added to the opening, which is cool.
What the snuffle of Vegas? The fuck? Sorry, I'm just looking at the notes.
Oh, like, yeah, no, I'll get to that.
What?
Is that supposed to be snuffle up, I guess?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll get to that.
Oh.
So, after the opening...
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
And Lane just got the joke, which no one else did because they can't see what we're looking
at. You know what? I've never seen Snuffleupagus spelled out. So.
I don't even know if that's correct.
Well, no, it's not.
Okay.
That's why I said, is that supposed to be?
It does look like Snuffleupagus, kind of.
Whatever.
Anyways.
Phone monster.
Wait with bated breath, viewers. We'll get there. So, after the opening, Fuka is disciplining Takaharu and Kenji for attempting to kill each other, specifically in the dojo.
No. Okay. Fuka, like, yes, you guys all say Fuka is useless, but goddamn is she good at scolding everyone. Like, she keeps everyone...
Ninja scolding
No, she tells everyone when they're being stupid. Takaharu especially.
Fair. But no, the best part of this argument is, next time you try and kill each other in my dojo, you don't get dinner.
Takaharu's like, aww.
Because Kenji totally cares now that he's not eating with them.
The funny thing is, this is the first time ever I've sympathized with Takaharu, because he's like, why me? It's Kenji's fault!
I didn't do anything!
And he's right! It is Kenji's fault!
No, but Takaharu could literally just be like, Kenji, fuck off. But no, he's like, nope, I'm fighting you.
He's got to defend himself. He's trying to kill him.
He doesn't have to. There's many times where they're like, he's tried to assess them, and they're like, not today. And he's like,
fine. The next episode.
Yes, exactly.
Not with Takaharu, with everybody else.
Yep.
And then his counter-argument, Kenji's counter-argument to Taka being completely correct is, but I have to kill you in the next month or else your grandfather won't teach me shit.
I'm just doing what your grandfather told me to.
Wow. So, in this episode, oddly, the Gamma Gamma Jew detect the yokai before Kenji's Burger Morpher does.
He hasn't updated his app.
Yeah, he's gotta run the update. No, you know why? His signal's shitty in there.
No, he doesn't have enough Nintality.
Yeah, that hasn't come up recently.
He doesn't have enough Nintality in his burger.
That hasn't come up recently. But, so this week we get the horrifying monstrosity that is the public phone yokai Yamabiko, voiced by motherfucking Kintaros!
Let's just say that this yokai was not what I was expecting to look like coming from a phone booth.
He looks like he's got, like, fur and, like, floppy ear type thing.
I like to think that
imagination... Which is why I called him Snuffleupagus.
I like to think imagination comes from the person who throws the shuriken onto the said object.
God, I hope so, because that's the only logical explanation.
Which means, if that's so, Ninja took some tropes from Tokyuger, which...
Sugimori's going to think up some really stupid yokai from here on.
Oh, God.
So...
Strategic as fuck yokai.
Yeah. So, apparently, Yamabiko's power is the power to call actual phones from itself and then imitate other people's voices. So, he tricks Takaharu.
Which is clever!
Yeah, fairly useful.
It's very useful.
Because Tsugimori is actually intelligent. So, Yamabiko tricks Takaharu by pretending to be Fuka in trouble to hand over all of the changed Ninshuriken. And here's where I start to lose some faith in Kasumi and Yakumo, because they totally agreed to it immediately.
They agreed to it, but then you saw that they were kind of like, why?
Yeah, no, but here's the problem with that. They had a moment where Takaharu was asking them for them, and the two of them gave each other a look, and I thought, you're going to give them fakes, because you two are actually smart.
See, I kind of hope that's what...
And then that's not how that worked, because they apparently gave them their actual ones. And I'm like,
then after that, changed their minds and ran after him, but the harm has been done.
Later on, I love when, like, they're, like, about to go into a fight. Takahara is just like, alright, everyone, let's go!
Holds up his hand as if he's holding the shuriken. Oh, shit!
Fuka looks at everyone else. Sorry, nope.
You fools.
That's why I'm glad, like, Star Ninja is, the star of the show. No pun intended.
Here's the thing. So, to capture the Ninshuriken, Yamabiko sends some of the Jukurage disguised as random humans. And here's my thought. Why didn't he just disguise one of them as Fuka to go take the shuriken from Takaharu?
Yeah. Fuka sent me. I need the shurikens.
He doesn't say anything. He just, like... Are you the guy? Gives it to him. Fuck Takaharu's fucking stupid.
I'm glad you finally see it my way now.
No, I was always on board. But anyways,
light is best, Red Ranger.
So red, blue, pink, and yellow fight the Jukurage and Yamabiko while not being able to transform.
I swear to God, I'm gonna beat you with your burger, Lane.
I'm gonna beat.
You're gonna beat the Asperger's out of me with the burger?
I will replace this ketchup with blood.
There's no ketchup, there's tomato.
Whatever.
If you put dish shuriken in it, it is ketchup.
Sure. No, you know what you do? You take the burger thing off that, put it on the red shuriken.
Beat the burgers out of you with the burger.
You know what you do? You take the burger shuriken off the Star Ninja shuriken, put it on the red shuriken, and put that on. Then you've got a burger with ketchup. And still some cheese, I guess.
David, we're so sorry.
No, I mean, like, the other way, like...
Oh, like, put this one on here?
Yeah.
But then it's, like, gray meat.
Oh, yeah. I forgot it was gray and not red.
David, we're sorry. He's gonna hate us for this.
No, leave this in.
Stop playing with your fucking toys while you're fucking talking!
This stays in. So, anyways, this stays in, David. One of my favorite bits of the fight with Yamabiko is the fact that they're fighting in this in one of the filming locations from late Gaim. So they spill Mr. Snuffleupagus down the stairs where Bravo and Gridon had fought in that one scene.
Yep.
I like that. That was fun. And then they pull, like, whack-a-mole pitfall magic and, like, dump Fuka down her own hole. And then she manages to be common and pull...
I made a chicken burger! It's yellow down here. There's the ketchup.
Oh, okay.
It's a chicken burger.
Sure. No, you have to put the brown shuriken in there.
I'm gonna stab you, Lane. Guess? I swear to God.
Chicken's yellow.
Sure.
Shuriken. Stop it! I'm having fun with this thing! Fuck you!
Raven, next time you try and stab Lane in my studio, you don't get dinner.
Damn. With a fin sword stylus.
Damn.
Anyways,
so
but yeah, Fuka Star Ninja fight, which was awesome.
The weird part about Yamabiko's power is, like, mid-fight, he starts imitating other members and going like, oh, I need help, and the person he shouts at turns around, and then he, like, Yahoo! And they get, like, supersonic attack.
What's amazing, though, is that Fuka hears Takaharu calling for help, but then Fuka obviously is like, no.
Punches it in the face.
Just, no. How did you figure out? Takaharu would never call for help.
Fair. So, their solution to this problem, even though they've eliminated all the other Jukurages at this point, is to call each other by their colors instead of their names.
Which
is immediately useless because they proceed to finish off the monster right there! With an amazing cinematic attack, I should say.
Yeah.
But the whole color code name thing is immediately pointless!
Yes. Let's use color code names. Okay. Come on, Star-san. This doesn't seem very different for me, but okay, let's do it!
Yeah, that was great. And Kinji manages to pull off the selfie.
Which I love when he gets those now.
I'm adding every one of those to my wallpaper collection.
Yep.
So, as a compromise, because Fuka and Kinji had a heart-to-heart talk about his dead family earlier, which was not worth mentioning, Fuka buckles and says, you can try killing each other in the dojo during these hours. Okay!
No trying to kill each other in your sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, and Wanmaru does a thing.
Yeah.
Wanmaru does
Because Yamabiko totally, like, has sound-based powers, the way they beat him during the Zord fight is to have Wanmaru scream at a higher frequency to fuck him up.
Wanmaru, start woofing!
Like, it goes, like, super awkwardly high-pitched. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's episode 14.
What does he say when he dies?
Oh, he says nobody's here.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. It would have been perfect if you just heard the beep, beep, beep.
Dun, 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 dun. No
fan. Yeah, or yeah, dial tone.
Yep.
So that's episode 14. Moving on to episode 15, aka the Kasumi kills everyone episode.
Yes.
Also, the I fucking love Rodeo Maru episode.
So,
I'm just gonna say this right now. So, yes, he gets, like, possessed or whatever by a monster. But he actually, Rodeo Maru fights in this episode with the Bison King's, like, gun. And it's fucking awesome. So,
he blows up a shit ton of buildings with it.
So when I get my Artisan Rodeo Maru, I am fucking posing him with that gun. Okay. It'll be fan-fucking-tastic.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh my god.
So the episode, so cool. The episode starts with Kasumi teaching Fuka and Nagi. Because I guess she's a teacher.
Because they're the worst of the bunch, and she's at least useful.
You know what I think it is? They probably mentioned it. She's teaching them, she's tutoring them in actual school studies.
Probably.
Because I'm like, why is she teaching ninja class? But that's probably not it. And then Kasumi immediately calls out Star Ninja as hiding behind the wall again. That's just going to be a thing.
Just, how did you know I was there? You're really not that good at that.
Also, put that wall back. What?
Put the damn wall back.
So Kasumi totally hands Star Ninja his ass and sends him on his way
to go
play with Takaharu and Yakumo, who are literally running around looking for the flying Otomonin that Yoshitaka mentioned.
Because Grandpa said that they had to find it.
Yeah.
So therefore it's going to be different. Or is it?
No, probably not.
Not at all.
No.
So we meet the yokai of this week. The two-mouthed woman, Futakuchi Onna, which is literally a glasses library Onesan stereotype with another mouth sticking out of her skull. And glasses everywhere. Jesus.
She gave me huge Bayonetta vibes.
Absolutely. Yeah. That was the idea. Said that character type.
Yep.
The glasses-wearing librarian Onesan. Totally what that is.
God, Kasumi whooped her ass.
Oh, yeah. So, her thing is negotiation, or rather contract magic.
Yeah, when she goes up to Rodeo Maru, like, negotiating with him.
Oh, you God, just, she like, works for Kyubey.
No, you just...
Which is... Holy shit! And Tsugamori calls Kyuemon Kyubey in this episode!
Yeah.
It's all connected!
Moving
on. I'm sorry.
I loved when she was negotiating with Rodeo Maru, like, she appears in front of him, and Rodeo Maru just looks over, just like...
Yo.
The fuck do you want?
There's a fucking yokai here.
Like, he's barely... You can't tell, you can't make an expression, obviously, because he's a robot, but you could just tell in his face, like, you could just tell, he was just like, the fuck do you want?
Why are you on my shoulder?
That moment of, Kenji.
You're not Kenji.
I just wanted to see him try and flick her off his shoulder.
Yeah. Like, Kenji.
I fucking hope Rodi Amar doesn't have Guru's voice.
I saw Bert Cricket's ass. So apparently she manages to talk Rodi Amaru into signing a contract with a giant thumbprint, which immediately rids him of his own will.
And makes him go nuts and start blowing shit up.
With the gun, it's fucking amazing.
Yep.
So Takaharu sends Kasumi and Yakumo to deal with the situation, and then he decides to go fight Rodi Amaru by himself, and there's this hilarious shot of Shurikenshin with nothing in the throne just getting beat the fuck up. I like that.
Like, summon UFO Maru, summon something.
Well, they do Pawn Maru first, but yeah, Fuki and Nagu.
Fuki and Naga?
They're left by themselves to manage Shurikenshin and fight the Gashadokuro, while Kasumi and Yakumo jump in to try and stop Kinji from signing the contract.
Yep.
So, through a combination of Kasumi and Ona's magic, they arrive in this conference room, and Kasumi's dressed up like a lawyer.
Fucking so random, but okay.
Because, yes, I am all of the okay with that.
Beautiful representation jutsu.
No, I loved Kinji. Yeah, I love Kinji's contract that, like, she made with him. And he's, like, reading. He's like, okay, no yeehaws, only one selfie for, like...
For yokai.
For yokai. And he's like, he just looks so distraught by it. He's like...
I can't
do anything that I love doing. I'm like, you're destroying the entire character with this contract.
I just thought it was funny that how well they know that.
I'm sad we didn't see, like, he was only, like, evil in his human form. Like, I was sad we didn't get to see him, like, as, like, an evil star ninja. That would have been awesome.
Oh, I'm sure we'll get more opportunities.
I hope.
Especially since he is apparently considering an offer from Kyuemon to be her student.
Yeah, because apparently Kinji wants the Shuriken. Why? Who the fuck knows? To revive his family? Maybe?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's probably what it is.
Can it do that? Only knows it's really destructive.
It's MacGuffin enough at this point. We don't know what the fuck it does. So, yeah. So the negotiation begins, and because destruction is happening outside, Kinji just immediately says fuck it and agrees to his contract and goes nuts. So Kasumi, left with no other options, quote-unquote, admits defeat and starts sucking up to Futakichi.
No, I love how she did. Yakumo's just like, all right, well, Kasumi, do you have a plan? Nope, got nothing.
Nope,
and just,
no
like,
mind,
winking at him, and Yakumo's like, oh, yeah,
you made things.
You got us.
We made things easy for you.
Easy.
So they managed to trick her into ripping up the contracts. Sorry, not trick. Manipulate into doing what she
it's
wants.
It's like you were great as both a yokai and a woman. She's like...
And she like pulls... I love the speech she does. She like pulls all these amazing speech tropes and it's like, you need to share your powers with the world and take off into that bright blue sky!
I'm like, I'm just watching this and I'm like, Kasumi, fucking badass.
Kasumi, this is why we like you.
This is why Kasumi is not pink ninja.
She is the light red ranger.
Correct. She's real leader.
That's why I'll be happy to own her shurikens.
Which is hilarious because they call her the secret boss.
Yep.
And then she shoots
them. She proceeds to give this look like, I'm gonna kill you if you ever say that again, but yes.
That's
right! Remember that? She's just...
It's just... that's funny!
Yeah, that's our thumbnail.
I am true leader of ninja.
No, our thumbnail.
That staring at type Trider on.
Yeah, that's our thumbnail. That stare staring at type Trider on.
No. Photoshop fucking Kasumi's face into the type Trider on helmet.
No,
this is the
three things. Them staring at each other, and then just in the top of the image, that thing I showed you last week with the drive emblem on the hood.
I don't remember.
Remember that conversation we had about cars with three wheels?
Oh, yes.
Oh, dear. And that's just in the top corner with the drive emblem on the
right. Sure. If I can find a good copy of the drive emblem.
Hmm. So, yes. Fucking awesome Kasumi is the winner.
Yeah. And then she finishes off Futekichi with Kaien Aburagiri, just a storm of fire slashes. That was awesome. Oh, and then my favorite part, they finish off the two-mouth monster by tonguing it to death with the Gamma Gamma juice.
Yes.
I like that the actual, like, attack...
Too much tongue.
I like that the actual attack from that is the, just, like, these just awesome, like, these tongues come out.
Tongues of the frogs.
Yep. That's cool.
Too much tongue in that
pistol. I love that pistol or gun, whatever.
So apparently next week, Daddy Ninja tries to do a thing.
Woo. Yeah, he tries to, like, be a ninja and stuff, and I'm like, aw, that's, like, the father's adorable.
You suck.
Hey.
Can we please have him become Brown Ninja? Please.
Damn it. All right, moving on.
Yeah, so those were the episodes. We're going to do a really quick feature topic discussion. So we watched episode 1 of Type Tokujo, which was really nothing spectacular.
No,
it's two people have confessed to a murder of a scientist who apparently hinged during activation of, like, some device that he made, and now we're trying to figure out who it actually is.
Which is at the same time, it's the global freeze.
And Q knows him, supposedly.
Yes.
This whole 4-episode series comes with the Drive Blu-rays, and supposedly it talks about why the members of the Tokujo were chosen.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Also, I think the best part of that is right near the beginning, Go just screwing with Kiriko.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, does this have anything to do with that time you became Drive?
Yes! Literally pulls an Iron Man 3, because remember in Iron Man 3, when Tony Stark's, like, putting on his armor and stuff by, like, remote whatever, just being like, fuck, come on me.
Might want to try rephrasing that.
Okay. I don't know, whatever. Would you like to rephrase it for me, Ichi?
No! I wanted to leave it there, I just thought maybe you might.
Whatever, anyways. So, like,
we have that on
he finishes
now.
Putting on his armor, and he's like, I'm the best, and then, like, a last piece of his armor, like, hits him, and he falls over, and the entire armor just, like, shatters off his body. That's literally what happened here with Kiriko. She transformed, the tire was too much for her, and literally, the end, she died.
You get a quick second of her as Drive without the tire, and then the tire just, like, gut checks her and she falls in the engines.
But yeah, that was a great part of it, but also I liked when Shinosuke is, like, interviewing the, like, interrogating what's his face? Jack Sparrow.
Nishihori.
Yeah.
He's back.
I love how
he's in all the specials.
No, I love that he's just, like, talking to him and he's like, yeah, I turned off the volume of the machine. Yeah, you know he had a weak heart, right? Huh, did he?
I guess I did kill him!
And I'm just
And meanwhile, some other woman also confesses to his murder.
God, this is turning
into
a fucking game of Clue.
Who knows what's going on next episode.
Really,
not much happened. The highlight of this was literally just Kiriko trying to become Drive. And
while
then,
wearing awesome shorts.
Yes.
Dim legs.
And that was about it for Type Tokujo.
Yeah.
Yep.
Episode 1 of 4, I think. We'll talk about the others as we get them.
We'll probably talk about all the others together.
That way we'll actually have
things to talk about, because this episode was kind of...
Yeah.
Nothing really happened.
We'll wait till all 4 out, then then watch all
this
4.
Is what happened, is what happens when you have a 12-minute Toku episode. Not a lot of things happen.
I'm still waiting for the Ninja... special with fucking Takaharu and Kenji.
Yeah! The hyper battle video where they dress up as ninjas and cowboys in their Sentai outfits.
That's going to be great.
We talked about that a while ago. So, yeah, that's the episode for this week. And yay, we got through it this time.
Woo! And the thing didn't cut out. Oh, fuck.
No, it didn't.
No,
I know, I'm fucking with
you. Don't fucking
you
scare
asshole.
Me like that. I knew you were lying because I had looked at it just before you said that.
I know,
but then
right?
I was like, did it go just now? No, we're good. We're good.
So next week will be a very special episode because finally the Full Throttle movie has been subbed and we will be talking about it.
And we'll have all five I was about to say ninjas. We'll have all five Cast Ranger members back. Plus Saul.
Hopefully. Unless Paul passes it.
Yeah. Always a possibility.
That's why we get him a coffee every Friday. Literally.
Yes. He who picks up Lane from work gets Paul a coffee before a podcast.
Donate to Castranger to keep Paul on the episode.
You know
donate now for coffee money for Paul.
Raven, you know you're always
going to do Kickstarter! We'll do a Kickstarter to get Paul a supply of coffee. Hey, if anyone's on board, let me know in the comments or tweet at us. Fuck it.
Fuck it. Just GoFundMe will do it.
Hell, David help got fucking like $5-$10 from it one time.
Help fund Paul's coffee habit.
Fund Greencaster.
As long as it's not Fund Green Forecast.
Alright, so follow us on Facebook, Podbean, iTunes, all that good shit. I'm Lightyear. Good night.